Grace to you and peace from God our Creator, Jesus our Savior, and the Holy Spirit who is at work among us this day. Amen. Did you notice the word abide? Just a couple of times in that lesson, right? The gospel for today is our naming verse. John chapter 15:11 is how we came to be Spirit of Joy. That's a phrase that when you come and are part of our baptismal liturgy, you hear it from there as well. But in those early days of study, this is that scripture that resonated with those first people who gathered and wondered what this community might someday be. And that's what we're doing today. As much as we're hearing the gospel, we're going to hear a little about who we are and how we try to live out that original vision and hope that came from these verses. And they are verses of intimacy, that abiding. My favorite of the translations for that is moved into the neighborhood. I like that notion, right? That sense of permanence and place and belonging. Or sometimes in contemporary translations, you'll hear pitched a tent and stayed nearby. That's a nice way to think about that too. But then if you keep going through those verses that we get to, it ends there with, if you keep, you will abide in my love. And so these verses are an opportunity for us to find rest in that place. They come in Jesus' last conversation with his disciples in the Gospel of John. John chapter 13 through 17 is what we call the farewell discourse. That's where we get the foot washing and the betrayal of Judas, and finally what we call the high priestly prayer, which is when Jesus stops in front of his disciples and prayed for them. But here is this invitation to rest, and in resting, be made fruitful, and in being fruitful, find a joy that overwhelms. That's that fun word, complete, at the end. Complete, fulfills, accomplishes, or my favorite translation, overwhelms. Can you imagine a joy that overwhelms? That's a different something in our lives. So for me, as I try to think back some 26, 27 years ago, before we were actually a congregation of the ELCA, we're now just not quite 24 years old, I try to think, what was it here that was so inspirational? And I find myself struck by a few things. First, the only decision that we get to make in this gospel is to abide. That's the only decision made by the vines. Every other act in it is an act by Jesus and by the Father. They are the acts of shaping us into those vines that bear more fruit and more fruit. The Holy Spirit is at work among us, pulling out the gifts that you are gifted with, giving you life and bringing something new to happen. What we do is find rest and peace in that. And then, at the end, what does that lead to? The bearing of fruit, the glorifying of God, the finding of rest in places that we maybe don't expect it, and certainly not of our own doing? What God promises us then is that leads to overwhelming joy. Joy that is so full it cannot be built on. It is complete, whole, done. So, who are we, Spirit of Joy? In light of that, we are a community that puts our trust in God, that we can't do it. Don't have to, but can't. But that instead, God will gift us with each other, with the variety of gifts. You saw that in that beautiful group of children this morning. The different ways that we think and that we are. And that God will use that giftedness for God's own glory. So that here in our community, in the way that we walk through the world, in the way that we are together, people might see fruit that is to the glory of God. And in doing that, bearing that fruit, being that community, living into that rest, finding a place with Jesus, we get together to experience what joy might actually mean. Not fleeting happiness, not moments, but knowing that here next to each other, we belong. We belong as a community, but more importantly, perhaps we belong to God, who has chosen us, made room for us, and given us all that we need to flourish. So what does that look like here in practicality? Will you run for me, Chad? Sorry. There we go. We remember are one of those 8,700 or so congregations of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. We are part of the South Dakota Synod, which was one of those 65 gatherings. That's what that word means, across the whole of the country, with our primary offices in Chicago. Go ahead, Jim. My clicker is not working for whatever reason. And we are the ELCA. This is a piece that I've said now for a few weeks in a row, and just a reminder, the ELCA is not Bishop Curry in Chicago. It's not the people who work in that building next to O'Hare. It is you. You all are the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. You have the authority, the power, the influence to shape that body and who we want to be and who we want to become. And this is what it looks like here. One of the unique pieces of who we are is that active member number at the top. It should say partner there. That's a mistake from mine. You all are far more active than the typical congregation in the ELCA. Now, that said, that's a pretty low bar. To be an active partner means that you attend worship once a year, you receive communion once a year, which if you attend worship, we assume you receive communion, and that you've given of record or someone in your household has, right? That's not a super high bar, but still, percentage-wise, you are far above typical in the whole of the ELCA. And then you see there some of the other statistics. One of my favorite, that faith formation number is very conservative because we started to think about adults this week as we were having this conversation, and we couldn't quite quantify it, but it could be more like 160, 170 if you go from little lambs up through Children of Joy, confirmation, high school youth, all the way through adult programming. That number is a safe number. We started here as a congregation, right? This community existed before it was recognized as a congregation, but All Saints Sunday 2002 was our founding, which means that All Saints Sunday next year, invite all your friends, because it'll be a party, right? That's what we'll get up to on that first Sunday in November of 2027. We have, over the last couple of years, worked really hard to get to 9 featured ministry partners. That means those are ministries and nonprofits with whom we have an intentional and specific relationship. It does not mean we don't have others. We still, while we have that 9, have relationships with Hope Haven International and Call to Freedom and a number of other organizations that are part of our community. They're just not those for whom we take specific and intentional time. And one of the things that we are thrilled about is that 2 years ago, a little less than two years ago, we made the decision, difficult decision as a congregation, to make a change from our historic 20% benevolence. We've always given 20 cents of every dollar that comes in to the South Dakota Synod and those partners. We made the hard decision 2 years ago to go to 15. And we were so thrilled in June, a full half year ahead of time, to be able to return to that 20% mission support for those around us. So thank you for your generosity and your willingness to work through us so we can get to that. Here's my thought before we go. If you have further questions, there is back there a black table that has a box on it and cards for our podcast. Every episode is going to end with a question. We'd love for you to put those back there and to give us a chance to answer. But as I go through, I'm gonna allow for about three questions. So I'm curious, as you look through this slide, I'll reiterate it so the whole room and the live stream folks, hi folks, can see it. Are there any questions just from this slide and just initially thinking about who we are, a spirit of joy? What's considered active? That's that definition of once a year attendance, once a year communion, and giving of record. You or your family unit is the definition of active. Yeah, Michelle. How are we taking attendance, right? We don't pass pew pads down. Those disappeared in COVID and never came back. Your worship team made the decision not to do that. So mostly it's through giving units, and then every summer your staff gathers and we think through, work through who's been around, who's been active, and how have we done that. It's one of those gifts that Michelle, before her retirement, was really great at because she knew so very many people in our congregation. So during the summer, then we send, hey, we're missing you cards to all of those who we can actively say haven't been around. And that usually is in the ballpark of 30 to 50 families or so that we try to connect with each summer. Yeah. Let's look ahead then. This, if you can see there, is our larger community. Hartford's up there in the top left. Brandon Corson are on the top right, and then you go down to Worthing at the bottom. Spirit of Joy, this is only 250 of your addresses. There are 320 families or so who are active in those numbers. There are 400 and some total families. We are no longer a community church. Our fastest growth is actually on the east side of town. Interestingly, this is a world of I don't know the reasons why. I think because you all are a wonderful community, but I think also over there, if you don't want to disappear into the sea that is the big church on the east side of town, you find your way here. And I think a lot of folks have said that to me, that they love to be known and to know other people, and it's part of what's unique about our community. So yes, we have that swath that's near us, but look at all of those dots. You would, if you looked at Renner, you would notice there are a few more there. You can go all the way to Beersford and find people who are here at least once a month in this. And then folks joining us online touch the entirety of the U.S. Eric Gold will tell you, and sometimes internationally, and we don't ever quite know why, but we have a little group in Texas who seems to check in. I'm wondering if that's not because they're trying to find a different spirit of joy. There's a prominent one in San Antonio. I don't know, but that's happening there. Chad, thank you. This is our basic kind of structure. We have a leadership team. Our executive team at the moment is president, vice president, treasurer, and secretary. That's Krista, Eric, Becky, and Mary. Then we have five core ministry teams. They match our five core values. We renamed them a couple of years ago because people were going, what is that team? What does it do? So we brought them in alignment. Each one of those teams has a chairperson and then a staff person who's attached to that team directly as their direct contributor. A number of those teams then have sub-committees. So worship, all of the things like this beautiful Luther seal that Ashley Zimmer-Larson painted for us was brought together by the visual arts team. They said, let's do this and let's make our space more beautiful. So when you see things moved around, they're thinking hard about the worship in our season. Look at extravagant generosity. The stewardship team, who's been bringing you videos and the inserts and sharing that. The new budget team, who's facilitating that process this year instead of me. Our endowment team that's for the first time able to do disbursements, about $11,000. Applications are open now. Those all fall under those core ministry teams that give us our strength. And then there you see these are our current nine ministry partners. Heather, are you okay if I say the next thing? Yeah. Now is that time where we're going to consider three of those ministry partners for potential replacement. If you have a passion in our community, a nonprofit, a ministry, as somebody that you would like Spirit of Joy to draw closer to for the next 3 years, you can jump online and find that application and bring it to us. So if you have a Bread Break or a Hope Haven or a Shepherd's Table or anything out there, and you would like the Bold Service team to consider it, this is our window of opportunity feeding into our budget cycle every year. I'm going to stop again and say, okay, now what questions? I just share so much information so well. There are no questions. Oh, got one. Arlene. Yes. So we commit to a 3-year commitment to each of those partners. So 3 groups of 3 is how to think of them. And because we're considering does not mean that they'll come off. It just means that they're up for consideration in that year. So as Bold Service is looking at that, they will consider those 3. But for those ministries, St. Dismas Prison Congregation, they know that for 3 years, we're going to dig in with them. We're going to show up for worship. We're going to offer them a space here to tell their story. We're going to offer them our financial support, all of the ways that we can connect to them for 3 years. So it's not a 1-year gig where it's just going to disappear and do that. And it could certainly be more than beyond that. Connie. For generosity, yes. So one of our budget line items in Bold Service, I'm pointing to Heather Bart because she's our current chair. Her name is up there on that. We do have an other line. It allows us to respond to short-term needs from our partners. So last year, Church on the Street came to us with an opportunity for a grant that they needed some matching for. They needed it like this. That way we can participate with them. In the past, our companion synods have come and said, hey, you know what Nicaragua is doing to get to the back country? They're buying dirt bikes, motorcycles, and teaching their pastors to ride them so that they can get to places they can't otherwise get. We have an opportunity for that. And our partners, we can help. This year, we've helped with rent and utilities for folks who are part of our community. And then if somebody comes in off the street who is looking for help, we have a policy by which we can help them that comes out of that partner budget. Yeah. One more, Jen. And then this is too small, but one of those questions that is always asked is, okay, but what do our people do? And so we're going to make all of these slides from the last 3 weeks available to you all. Folks have said, it's too small, I can't read it, it's too much information, I don't have time. They're coming. We're going to walk through all of these so that you can dive into them. But you see our 8 staff people, they fill 11 positions across the bottom there, and then those are their responsibilities, and that's your basic structure. Leadership team, the 5 core value ministry teams, the sub teams, and then what each of those staff people get up to. So, as we say that, one of our commitments, because we're a smaller staff, we cannot silo. So we work hard so that all your staff can answer the questions across the board, and that they are covering things that you would not imagine. Why is it that the Children of Joy person is also writing prayers? Because that's part of how our community ethos is built. We pray for each other, we take care of each other, we share that workload. And so as you look at that, that may be the basic definition, but know that they're always crossing over and doing work into and alongside each other's areas. Okay, is there one more, Chad? There is. And this is that. Spirit of Joy, as we've tried to figure out who we are and who we want to be for the last 24 years, in light of John chapter 15, we have said always that we want to be a house of prayer for all. We have said always that we want to be a hospital for sinners. That means when we come here, we don't come in any guise of perfection or worthiness. We cannot do that. Instead, we come fully expecting that God will show up for us and offer God's grace. And that then is how we define our community. We say that we are a community of grace. We know that we as a whole come together with all of our flaws, our foibles, our warts, our imperfections. And that what knits us together are the waters of baptism and God's love and willingness to call us branches on his vine. Rest in that, and our joy will be complete. Amen.